Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Matthew 21, 23 through 27 says, Jesus entered the temple courts. And while he was teaching, the chief of priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I got to give you my Pharisee voice. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed this amongst themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Like, why do Pharisees sound like that? Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to. They may not help you right now, but hopefully they'll point back to a place in scripture when you're in trouble to show you a way out. Amen. If you're taking notes, I've entitled this message and this final message in The Problem with Religion. Who's the boss? Who's the boss? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, God. I thank you that before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that would be in this room today. You are not surprised by it. And God, I pray that I would lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I pray for the one that needs to hear this word the most. I pray that somebody would be open just to hearing a word about the one who saves, and his name is Jesus. We thank you, praise you, in Jesus' name. And everybody set, everybody set. Somebody give Jesus some praise in this place. Thank you, Annie. Doesn't she play beautifully, y'all? Love you, Annie, you're awesome. Have you ever met someone that took their power too far? Like somebody like was like, oh, this is my sermon right here. Like, I have a hard time dealing with people at power trip. It's like they get a little bit of power and they take it way too far. It's like, bro, you got one job. It's like, you gotta like calm down. Like, you way too excited right now. The other day, me and my wife were traveling. I like traveling and I like my wife, but when you put the two together, it doesn't work. I like when we get where we're going. I just don't like the process of us trying to go there, because I am the type of person, I will leave my house way ahead of schedule. I will have my bag and I will make sure that it is the proper weight before I ever get to the airport. And if I do not need to check a bag, I will not check a bag. I will make sure I pack in a carry-on so that I can get from the front door of the airport to the gate as fast as possible so I can get there and sit. Because I don't like to pull a Kevin McAllister running through the airport like Home Alone. I just don't like to do that. I like to know that I'm gonna get on this plane. I don't want no problems, man. I like life simple. But when I travel with my wife, lives by the motto, never on schedule, always on time. So with that being said, she is the person that likes to walk into the airport doors by the skin of her teeth. She is the one that likes to run through TSA and do dodge maneuvers and juke the TSA agents. She is the one that does not want to wait in line when she gets to the gate, but as she gets to the gate, she wants to walk right in, be the last one on the plane, smiling boldly as everyone gives her evil eyes and say, "I have arrived." You know it's true. "Don't I look cute, y'all?" I'm like, "Girl, sit down." So, on this occasion, once again, I'm ready too early. Jesus. She agreed with what I was saying. That's how I feel. I just want to scream sometimes. I was super early. She was super late. We get to the airport. I'm already in panic mode because I live my life like a robot, very stringent. She's like, "Oh, don't worry. It'll be fine. It'll be fine." And we get to the thing. And once again, I have a carry-on. I don't need to check a bag. We only going somewhere for like 2 days. She has a bag that must be checked because it is a large bag. She needs options for wherever we are for the next 2 days. I'm like, "Oh my goodness, we got to check this bag. It's taking too much time." So she gets her bag checked. Doesn't seem like any problem. She gets a ticket. And then we get to TSA. When we get there, an alarm goes off. Not because of me, but because the agent notices that the identification that my wife has brought with her and the name on the ticket are two different names. She has an ID. This, oh man, this has been the cause for many discussions in the Wilson household. She has a ticket with her married name on it. She has an ID with her maiden name on it. Pray for us, y'all. So, of course, this alarms TSA. They're doing their job. "Ma'am, excuse me, there's no way we can let you through because the ticket and the ID don't match." Now, usually in situations like this, she would have brought her passport, which actually does have her married name on it. We wouldn't have a problem, but we were not traveling internationally, so she thought it wasn't a big deal, and she brings her driver's license, which still has her maiden name, and they stopped us, and as they were turning her around, they were like, "Sir, you can go." I said, "No, I am a man of honor." "I must wait for thine wife." So I turn around and they say, "You got to go back and you got to get the ticket changed or else we're not letting you through." So we go back and I'm like, here we go. So we go back and we get back to the counter. When we get to the counter, now we know our flight is about to take off. I'm like, "Man, is there any way we're actually going to get on this plane? It should be a quick swap. Maybe we could run back through. They let us in." We get to the counter. I met the most non-pleasant person on the planet when I got to this. I was like, "Excuse me, ma'am. Hi. in a bit of a situation. Just trying to get on the plane. I know, just the lady gave us a ticket, so, and she already checked our bag. It's already going where we're going. Can we just like do a little name change, like a little name change thingy on my wife's ticket real quick so we can go?" She's like, "No." I said, "Oh, this is beyond me." Well, hi again. I know it's a little tense right now, but maybe, can you please, like, just this one time, I know it's not, no." So then Joanne about to go all Carol City on them. "Well," I'm like, "Shh, stop, stop. You don't say nothing, because you got us in this. Stop, you don't, see, stop, you stop, you stop." "Ma'am, I know, okay, whatever we got to do, we'll pay to get the ticket changed. Not a big, it's misunderstanding, please. No! Okay. So my wife at this point, she has already gone to another register at this point. I'm trying to reason. I'm trying to be as nice as I can. I'm like, can I pray for you today? I'm trying to do whatever I can do. Nothing is working. So I'm like, I got to like break the news to my wife. I'm like, babe, we just won't go. She's like, no, you're going to go because you got to go get my bag on the other side. I'm like, but babe, like if we can't go together, I don't want to go. She's like, no, one of us has to go. We can't get two tickets. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, now I'm taking the walk of shame, like by myself to TSA. And then I walk down the long hall all the way to D60 in Fort Lauderdale. And I'm like, sad. I'm like, it's so hard to say goodbye to my baby. See what I did there? I'm sitting on the plane and I'm like, dang, I'm really going to have to take this flight by myself. And I was like, stewardess, ma'am, I just got a feeling. I feel like my wife's going to figure something out. Because one thing about Joanne, she always figures out a way. I said, I know you're not flying a plane, but could you just hold the door for like a second? Just, she might not, but I just got feeling she might. And as I look out the window, I see running on the tarmac in slow motion. Do, 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 do. That's how she run. Do, 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 do. I said, wait. And next thing I know, my baby pops up on the plane as usual, and she says, I have arrived. Sit down. I said, how did you get through this impossible situation? If you'd heard, there was no way she was getting on. Nope, she's going to get another flight. Gonna have to fly tomorrow. Can't fly today. No. And I'm like, Joanne, did you bribe her? What did you do? She said, no, I went to another attendant. And she gave me a little blue pass that let me walk right through, and I walked on. I said, what? I was like, is that easy? Like, they ain't like, check you. They ain't do, like, a full pat. And I was like, no. I just walked on through because the other lady was nicer. And I'm sitting there furious because I'm like, you mean to tell me it was that easy? The whole time for her to get through, but because somebody felt like power tripping, I had to take the long, lonely, depressing walk down aisle D60. Some people take power way too far, man. How many times have brothers and sisters, especially in church, gotten hurt because people have taken their power way too far? Like, it's so much easier to be nice. Like, people are mean for no reason. And for all my trainees, I'm gonna say, no reason at all. They're just mean. For no reason at all, because they are power tripping. People abuse their authority. Have you ever met anybody that has abused their authority? Matthew chapter 21 is a story about men who were in authority that were abusing it. The Pharisees of the day, they were men of religion. Men of Judaism, they followed the law of the Torah closely. They thought they were in right standing because they did enough practices. Can I tell you that your practices do not make your relationships personal? There's a lot of people that are just doing a lot of things to do them, but they bring you no closer to the relationship than you want to have. These men were filled with practices, and then they come and they see a man named Jesus, and it messes up their entire world. I love what the Bible says in Matthew 21, starting to 23b. It says, by what authority are you doing these? These were men of authority. They wanted to know, hey, we're the authority. So by what authority are you coming to do these things? And who gave you this authority? Well, why would they say this? This is after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He comes in riding on a donkey, and he is a G, because even though he has the equivalent to a Ford Pinto that he is riding on, people still lay out the red carpet for him, and they put down the palm fronds, and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. As he walks into the city in this triumphal entry, they are treating him like the king that he was. And then when Jesus gets into their city, these men of authority are all messed up, because he comes in and he flips over the tables of the money changers. He says, hey, God's house is a house of prayer. Jesus comes in and destroys the establishment. So these men are already frustrated, because they're saying, nobody has the authority to do this but us. Who are you coming into our space doing things that you don't have the authority to do? The Pharisees were power tripping. They hated to see somebody else get all the attention. They hated to see somebody else with power. So they questioned the power and the authority that Jesus had. And here's the thing. Jesus comes in doing all this stuff, flipping tables, and they can't even do a thing about it. And it bothers them. Now, hold on. Who is you? Where you come from? We run this town. What makes you think you can do these things and mess up our way of life? Here's the problem with religion. Religion wants power over you, but it has no power. Religion wants power over you. It wants to say who's the authority, but it has no power. Religion wants to overpower you. Jesus wants to empower you. There's so many people that are walking around with this false sense of power and lordship, and they lord it over people because they think that they have perfected the practices, but they have not perfected the relationship. So in the perfection of their practices, they have a lack of power. Your practices, your religion does not make you more powerful. Your relationship does. Religion wants to overpower you. Jesus wants to empower you. Why? Because religion is always trying to show you who's the boss. Religion always wants to show you who's the boss. But here's why religion has no power. You ready for it? Two quick things and we're done. Religion has no power because religion hates being questioned. Religion hates it when you throw out a question. It's bothered by it. Look what the Bible says. Matthew 21, 24 through 25 says, Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. So they ask him, by whose power and whose authority do you come in here doing the things that you're doing? And Jesus says, I will also ask you a question. If you answer me, I will tell you what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? The funny thing about this is that Jesus didn't even have to dignify them with a response. Jesus knew he was the power. He was the authority. Religion hasn't done anything for you to respond to it. Jesus does not have to respond to the questions of these men. And so many of us answer people that we shouldn't even dignify with a response. Some of you find yourselves answering to people that are not even due a response from a child of God. You've allowed yourself to get into conversations and talk and conversate and get into all of these battles and with all these people that don't even deserve a response from you. If they knew who you were, they wouldn't even question you. I love Jesus because Jesus knew, I don't have to respond to you. And But even though I don't have to respond to you, I will, because I'm God and I don't have a problem with your questions. But I would tell somebody in this place today, stop responding to things that you don't have to respond to. See, religion didn't create you. God the Father did. Answer to him. Religion can't save you. Jesus Christ already did that. Answer to him. Religion cannot empower you. The Holy Spirit can, though, so answer to it. Stop giving yourself away to things that don't have any power to make you, save you, or help you on this journey of life. All religion has the power to do is put confines around something God has already done. That's all it does. It takes something good like Jesus and they put him in this box. And then we worship this way because this is the box that a man created to contain it. You can't contain God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I don't have to answer to religion because religion's never done anything for me. I answer to my God because at the end of the day, my God has done everything. I am awake this morning because of my God. A kid that shouldn't be standing on this platform preaching gospel is here preaching you today. Why? Not because I'm smart, not because religion taught me, it's because my God put me here. There are people that are walking in spaces of authority and favor that nobody could have ever set you up for. So stop giving them credit. Stop giving them power by feeding things that you should never dignify with a response. I don't owe religion anything. I owe God everything. But Jesus, this is why he's cool. He doesn't have to give religion a response or an answer. So you know what he does? He asks a question. I love it. He asks a question. Let me ask you something. Have your kids ever asked you something that either you didn't know the answer to or you just didn't want to give them the answer to, so you say something to shut them up real fast? Yeah. Happens to me all the time. My baby girl, Daddy, where do babies come from? Go clean your room. Go. Just go. Just go. Just. Not now. Not now. Our kids are notorious for that, but that same response, that's what religion does. Religion has done that to so many people. People come in spaces like this, and they ask questions, and because religion either does not know the answer or does not want to respond, it pushes people away. Let me tell you something. I guarantee you, there's probably no person in this room that asks more questions about the Bible than me. Not because I'm smarter. I just know, in order to get revelations, you gotta ask questions. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not scared of your questions. You think you can intimidate Jesus with a question? Like people come and I've seen it so often. Yo, I came to the church and I was asking the pastor, you know, about this, and he just kind of brushed me to the side. Instead of giving somebody a loving response, we give them an open rebuke because they asked a question, just assuming that they should know things when they actually have an earnest question because they really want an earnest answer. This will never be a house where you have to be scared about asking me a question about what we believe. Because here's the freedom that I live in. I don't know all the answers. I'm okay with that because I am not God. And if you've ever asked me a question before, if I didn't have an answer, I say, you know what? Great question. Let me study a little bit and see if I can find something to help point you in the right direction. I am a man. God's ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I'm not going to push somebody out or make them feel awkward because they came to God's house with real questions wanting to be answered. The world pushes away religion because religion rebukes them instead of trying to answer their questions. People should be able to come in this. And here's why I know this is true. I'm not just saying this because it sounds good to say in 2019. All Jesus did was answer questions of his disciples. Have you ever read the Gospels? I mean, these people were constantly. So Jesus, I mean, it kind of sounded like a Pharisee. I got to change that voice. Hey, Jesus. So which one of us gonna sit at your right and which one gonna sit at your left? They asked him that. You know, we've been walking with you for a while. You know what I'm talking about? Which one of us is the greatest? Like, man, shut up. That's what Jesus should have said. But he had no problem answering their question. Jesus, you said the temple was going to be torn down and rebuilt in 3 days. Yo, when is that one? I want to see that. When that's going to happen? These are things that the disciples constantly asked Jesus, and Jesus did not make them feel stupid for asking a question. Jesus did not ostracize them for asking a question, but he loved them and gave them a response because he was trying to build them, not break them. Religion breaks so many people just because they have a question. I love Jesus because he's not scared of our questions. People come into church, ask questions all the time. Why the church want my money? Ask. What do we do about people with alternative lifestyles? Ask. Are women supposed to preach on the pulpit? Ask. It's okay. Am I supposed to believe in God or just Jesus or just the Holy Spirit or all three, like a mixture, like a cocktail? Like, which one? Is that tongues real, man? Could they be saying some words I think I heard before, like, bought a Hyundai, should have bought a Honda. Like, is that real? I wonder if heaven got a ghetto. Ask whatever you need to ask, because the greatest revelation comes from the greatest question. And here's what I would tell you today. Our God is not scared of your questions, because what he is going to do is reveal something about who he is to you through your question. Some of us keep getting the same ideas about God because we keep hearing the same sermons preached. Not enough people are asking questions. You can only learn who Jesus is when you are ready to ask the right questions. And I love Jesus. I love God because he is not scared of our questions. As a matter of fact, he says, not only do I know all the answers to the questions, I am the answer to your questions. Exodus 3:14 says, I am that I am, which means no matter what your question is, he is the only answer. And because he is the answer, you're going to see something new about him that you've never seen before through your question. Let your question give you a lens to view God through. You want to study the Bible? Come with questions. Religion hates being questioned, but lastly, religion doesn't have answers. It just doesn't. You can look for it, you won't find it. Matthew 21. 25, 27 says, they discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe in him? Talking about John the Baptist. If we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. Religious people drive me nuts because they act like they have answers for everything. They act like they do. I don't say that they do because I know that they don't. They act like they know everything. This passage of scripture, when I read it, it makes me laugh because I can't read it without seeing it. So I feel like it's like a movie when I watch it. So I have to add narration to it. And you know me, I like to put voices on stuff. So let put that scripture back up. It's more fun when we do it this way. Here it is. Yeah, that's it. So here's a narrator. They discussed it among themselves because they knew they needed to come up with a good solution. If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe in him? That was strike one.
But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold John as a prophet.
That was strike two.
Oh, Jesus asked us a question.
So they answered Jesus, and this is where they knew they messed up.
We don't know.
Then he said, I'd like to believe that Jesus was petty. Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. This is the part where I would have got written out of the Bible right here. Neither will I tell you, because whether Jesus was petty or not, I know I would have been. When I knew they couldn't answer my question, I'd have been like, got him. Like, you ain't got the answers. Jesus says, neither will I tell you about what. Why is this a powerful? Why was Jesus able to trap them? Jesus asked a simple question. John's baptism, John the Baptist, who we're talking about, Jesus' cousin. He baptized people. The Bible calls him the forerunner to Jesus Christ. He was the one that would pave the way for Jesus. John was a prophet. He was a wild man. He was not a learned man like these Pharisees, but he had the spirit of the living God in him, so much so that the people knew it and they clamored to him and they were being baptized in water by John. And Jesus says, I got a question for you. John's baptism, since you want to know my authority, where'd it come from? Was it from heaven or was it from man? Here's the thing. Why would Jesus ask if it came from heaven? Because if the Pharisees acknowledge the fact that John's baptism came from heaven, they would also have to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They would have to, because they went hand in hand. You could not acknowledge one. Oh, so you're saying that God put this holy prophet here who looked at Jesus when he saw him and says, man, I'm not even fit to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. You're the one I've been preparing the way for. He did that in public. All the people saw, so all the people already believed what John said because John was John, but then they actually got to see Jesus for himself. And when he got baptized, they saw the heavens open up and the dove come down and heard the voice of the Father saying, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. So if you say that John's baptism was not from heaven, you would also be saying that Jesus is not the Messiah. And Jesus knew that. Hey, so if you admit what you know to be true, that John, his baptism comes from my Father, you also have to admit where my power came from. Better yet, you have to admit I have the power. Better yet, you have to admit I'm the boss. But if John's baptism came from man, see, here's the thing about Pharisees. Here's the thing about religion. It fears people's opinions. See, it knew that if they would have said, well, John's baptism, no, it's not from God, it's from man. The people would have drugged them outside the city and literally stoned them, because they believed that John was a prophet. They believed that John was a man of God. So they find themselves in a peculiar situation. What do we say? Do we say it's from God? Do we say it's from man? They said, no. This is what we should say. I love this. They say, oh my goodness. They say, we don't know. We don't know. Other translations of that say, we cannot tell. We cannot tell. What they should have said, though, is not that we cannot tell. What they should have said is, we will not tell. We will not tell. This is what religion does. It would rather lie to you than admit it's powerless. It would rather lie. They knew John's baptism was from God. They knew it, but they didn't want to admit it, because if they admitted it, they would have to admit who was the boss. But they would rather lie and say, we cannot tell. No. You will not tell. You would rather lie to hold on to whatever power over people that you think that you have, because you're so greedy and prideful, you don't want to give up power when you see power standing right in front of you. This is the problem with religion, but I love Jesus' response. Well, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things by. You know why Jesus didn't have to tell them anything? Because he knew they already knew the answer. He knew that they knew. Jesus doesn't have to answer questions because they already knew exactly who he was. But they were so prideful, they weren't willing to give up whatever little power and authority that they thought they had. Here's the thing about religion. Not only does it hate to admit that it doesn't have answers, but it really hates to admit who's the boss. It hates to admit who's the boss. See, they may not want to say it, but they knew Jesus was the boss. Religion will never, ever want to admit who has the power or who's the boss, because it wants to hold it to itself. I just want somebody to hear me and hear me clear. Jesus is the boss of all bosses. Jesus has all the power. And when life tries to stop you, if you leave with anything today, leave remembering this. When life tries to stop you, you need to look life in the face and tell it, who's the boss? When religion tries to control you, you can look back at it and say, who's the boss? When people try to tell you that you're not a child of God and that you are what you've always been, you can look back at them and tell them, who's the boss? When your money tries to control you because you think it's all you need to get by and you think that's the thing that powers your life, you can look at your finance and tell it, who's the boss? When you feel like giving up and your brain wants to tell you that you're depressed, but you're a child of God and the joy of the Lord is your strength, you can tell your brain what your heart says, who is the boss? When your body wants to give out on you and the doctor wants to give you a crazy doctor's report, you can tell your body who the boss of all bosses is. I don't know who I'm talking to, but when your purpose tries to make you feel like you ain't got no purpose, you can look at your purpose and tell your purpose, who is the boss? When people want to try to control you, when they want to try to dominate you, when they want to try to tell you that you don't know what you're doing, you can look back at that person and say, who is the boss? I'm telling somebody today, when the enemy wants to take you out, when he wants to try to kill you, when he wants you to know and believe that you are nothing, you can look that devil in the eye who's standing underneath your feet and you can tell him, who is the boss? If you believe it, say amen. Look at your problems and tell your problems who the boss is. The boss of my life is Jesus. The boss of my life is not a set of rules and regulations and practices to determine how perfect I can be. The boss of my life is perfection, and his name is Jesus. Boss, my life is not anything that my mind can conceive. It's not anything that my eyes can see. It's not anything that comes from me. It's everything that comes from him. And his name is Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, call simple, call is clear.
Wow, what a message. Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, Please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.